Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Jill Violet, CEO and founder of Playworks, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to using the power of play to help young people build critical social and emotional skills, find confidence in themselves, and learn positive cultural values, all while being active and having fun. For nearly two decades, Playworks has been creating safe, inclusive school environments where kids can thrive and develop their best selves. The organization currently serves more than 900 schools in 23 U.S. cities and serves as an active partner with Kaiser Permanente Thriving Schools in many regions. Jill has been a tireless advocate supporting the growth and development of young people in the most creative ways possible. Prior to founding Playworks, she was a co-founder and executive director of the Museum of Children's Art in Berkeley, California, dedicated to helping families and communities celebrate the art and creativity of their children. She's a Harvard graduate where she studied medical sociology, and she's been recognized with numerous awards, fellowships, and accolades, including being recently named by Forbes as one of 30 leading entrepreneurs worldwide. Thank you, Jill, for taking time to talk with us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Great. So while it may be obvious to many of our listeners why play and recess are important for helping young people get their all-important 60 minutes a day of physical activity to help them be healthy and stimulate them so they can better learn in the classroom, you see play and recess serving a much more dynamic role in the development of young people. Talk to us about the importance of play and recess as you and your organization see it.
So at Playworks, we believe in the power of play to bring out the best in every kid. And I think that really is at the heart of why we've been successful and who we are and what we believe. And ultimately, I think, fundamentally why we are just so passionate. You know, there's this basic idea, right, that play is the experience that really helps us be in touch with our own humanity. It helps us really see other people. It helps us find ourselves as change makers in the world. And in that way, it really is true and an essential part of the school day in that way that schools are really a pillar of our democracy. Mm. And so it's super grandiose. It's this big, big idea. And it's so funny because I think play is one of those things that is kind of easily dismissed. Mm-hmm. And our experience time and time again is that nothing could be further from the truth.
Beautiful. So we hear a fair amount in the news today about schools who are making cuts to recess and play because of the need they have to focus their resources on academic performance and gearing up young people for the competitive work environments they'll eventually encounter. How would you address schools who perhaps aren't valuing recess enough or valuing play enough? And what would be your suggestions for schools to make the best out of recess time and embed play perhaps even into the classroom learning environment?
Well, so first I'd say, do you remember, I was thinking about the Twain quote about that someone had said he was dead and he said, rumors of my death are, you know, woefully exaggerated. So I think sometimes the decline of play is being sort of
woefully
exaggerated. And especially recess. Like my experience is that schools are offering recess pretty universally. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes they take it away as punishment, which I think is a terrible idea. I think the more accurate portrayal of the challenge is that teachers and principals, school leaders, parents and families, they find that recess is where the best things and the worst things happen. Mm-hmm. So the worst sort of challenge we face in getting recess to be more celebrated and popular is bad recess. And at bad recess, kids come out, it's not clear like how to get a game going or keep a game going. There's no one norming empathy, teamwork, leadership, inclusion. They don't know how to resolve their conflicts well. They don't know how to pick teams and all these basic things that, like, when I was growing up, we learned during the out-of-school time hours, and we brought those skills with us to the school day, and we practiced them at recess. And honestly, I think who I am as a grown-up and as a person who has 700 employees and who navigates the world, that my leadership and my understanding of when to step forth and when to let others lead, like all that stuff is stuff I learned on the playground. Mm-hmm. So for people who would say, I'm not sure, we've got all these other things, we need to really make sure that kids are learning and like, so no more time for recess. I mean, I would point, we have great data. We did a randomized control trial 2 years ago, and one of the things that the researchers found is that we actually recover instructional time, mm-hmm. because kids, just like grown-ups, they need to take a break. It looked like we were, with each class, we're gaining about 6 minutes of instructional time because kids were coming in, they'd gotten to run around, and they weren't carrying these lingering conflicts. Mm-hmm. I also know, as a mom, from a very practical sort of perspective, I always love my kids. When my kids are like being unkind to each other, I don't like them as much. Like, you know, and I think there's something in that. Like, I'm not as good a mom when I'm not liking them, right? Like, so, and I think that experience, I think, is relevant to being a teacher. Like, I think teachers always really care about the kids. But the kids are their coworkers, and if they're treating each other disrespectfully, they're being disruptive, it just makes it hard to be a teacher. It makes it way harder for the teaching and learning that we say we value so much, for that to happen in a meaningful way.
So it really sounds like what you're advocating is they need a little bit of structure to this time out of the classroom, if you will. It shouldn't just be free open time, but it's nice to have a little bit to surround that, to give them something to work through, or a game to just engage their bodies and their minds and stimulate them. But also it's a great outlet for them to work out their energies, mm-hmm. so that they're not kind of bottling things up and...
Yeah, I think the choice is key, right? Like, they can maybe choose free play sometimes. Undirected free play is awesome. Mm-hmm. But it only really counts in my mind if you actually really get to choose it, it's not just sort of default. Mm-hmm. That choice too, I think, is the critical piece in helping kids become drivers in their own education, right? And that's, you know, so much of how school and understandably, but so much of how school is structured is about controlling the kids. And here's this moment in the day when you're actually, not only can you, but you should be saying, you're in charge. Mm. You have control.
Mm. That's powerful. So this is a great lead into my next question. Having a recess is one thing, but having quality recess means something different. So talk to us a little bit more about ideas or tips you have to offer schools for improving the quality of recess time.
Sure. So we have just some basic rules that we sort of follow. One is really set expectations appropriately, help kids with transitions. Transitions are where things really tend to break down, right? So when you're getting ready to leave the classroom, like, get everybody on board, ready, you know, here comes the transition, we're going to go outside. When you get outside, check in with folks. You know, we've been inside, now we're outside. You can use your outside voices, you can run around, but just remember, you know, your bodies are moving through time and space with greater speed, so pay attention to yourself and where you're going, you know, sort of be safe, have fun, respect yourself and others. Sort of just set them up to succeed. The play happens. They've got a sense of choices, then they come back, and then you have another transitional moment where, like, okay, we're going back into the classroom. I mean, and it sounds sort of like overmanaged, but it's about, especially when you're introducing recess when it hasn't been sort of super structured, you're just setting it up, setting the kids up to succeed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're giant fans of teaching everyone in a school Rochambeau or rock, paper, scissors. It is the all-purpose problem solver, right? And, you know, 98.7% of all conflicts are fairly arbitrary. It's not a scientific number, but, like, you know, and you just want to give kids a way to save face and keep playing. And so then that way, when actually a conflict that isn't so arbitrary, that really does merit our attention and our concern, if it's a racist comment or something has been said that's hurtful, or, you know, like, there's stuff that actually deserves our attention, but that stuff can get crowded out if all the arbitrary conflicts are taking up all the air.
Mm. So is there something about that game in particular, or some of the games that you employ that bring out that ability to touch whatever conflicts might be going on under the surface, or just address certain dynamics?
Well, I think it's a process, right? So the rock, paper, scissors, you create an environment where everyone sort of, it lets everybody relax a little bit. Like, they know, okay, It's totally chance. I don't look foolish. You're debating whether or not it's in or out. Like, daylight's burning. Let's just rock, paper, scissors so we can keep playing. So that helps, like, that we know that we've got that in place so that if there's a conflict, that's going to be the first line of defense. So that brings down the tension and the anxiety. Like, how is this all going to play out? And then I think the thing about playing together, right, is that you actually, you come to know another person. You feel seen. You really get to see somebody else. There is a sense of commonality, mm-hmm. right, and that's established. And really, you play with someone, you start to get to know them, you build rapport and trust. Mm-hmm. And that's foundational to feeling safe, which is fundamental to being able to address those bigger, real, hard issues that people deal with, and especially what kids are just coming to terms with.
It sounds to me like there is less of a performance anxiety that might come with a game such as that, where you're kind of, it is sort of up to chance who's going to win.
Totally.
And the young people don't have to be worried about how they're going to perform and how are they going to look in front of their peers.
And I think that's absolutely essential to why play is so critical in a school context, right? Because especially now in this age where, you know, we've got the testing that's just so high stakes, and play is the essential, sort of the earliest form of formative assessment, right? It's an ongoing, you're constantly winning or losing or doing well or not doing well, and then recalibrating how you do things to, mm-hmm. like, get better at it. Play is maybe the first and best place to learn that, generally speaking, success comes after a series of failures. Mm-hmm.
So PlayWorks offers a number of services to schools and youth organizations to help them develop quality recess time during school time and out of school time. You've got a full cadre of PlayWorks coaches and recess experts who can lead young people in transformative recess experiences. And you also offer professional training and development to school staff and care providers so they can create and maintain great recess opportunities. For schools who might not be able to bring on a PlayWorks leader, what kind of resources or models for working with recess would you point them to?
Well, so we open source our playbook. So if you go on to www.playworks.org, our playbook is there and you can download that for free. Okay. And so lots and lots of games. I would say that, you know, the great thing about play is that it is an inherently amateur activity. So the first thing I would say to the grown-ups who at these schools is get out there and play yourself. Mm-hmm. Put the kids in charge, though, like, to the extent possible. Once you've taught the kids the rules to the game, back away and just be a participant. Grown-ups playing is an extraordinary gesture that gives permission for kids who might hang on the periphery otherwise for them to engage. Mm-hmm. It creates a safe space. The nuance, the challenge in doing it is, like, to play without necessarily being in charge as a grown-up.
How you said, sort of in the classroom, it's the grown-ups and the teachers who are kind of running the show, but in the playground area, let the kids
drive.
Yeah.
But and giving kids a chance to be the boss of you, the grown-up, like, when grown-ups get in line to play Foursquare or they sign up to play wall ball or they're shooting around baskets, there is this... You can watch in the kids' eyes as they see that teacher authority figure become more human. Mm. And that's super powerful. And that's so I highly recommend play yourself, let the kids be in charge.
Check out the PlayWorks playbook.
And check out the PlayWorks playbook.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and insights with us, Jill.
Thank you so much. It's so fun.
You bet. And I hope all this talk of play and recess has inspired you to embrace play in your own life and build more of it into your school day in whatever role you serve. If you want to learn more about Jill Violet and learn more about the programs and resources that PlayWorks has to offer, I encourage you to visit playworks.org.